I'm done doubting Russell Wilson. But his ability to stay calm and lead drive, whether it's week two or the playoffs or the Super Bowl, he always puts them in a position to be successful.
And Russell takes the snap, drops back. He's going to throw down the middle. He's got a man. The ball is caught.
Game over,
baby. It is a touchdown. The game is over. The Seahawks are going back to the Super Bowl.
This is Hawks Talk.
Good morning, Seahawk fans, and welcome into another edition of Hawks Talk here on CSN and iTunes. Well, that's how you bounce back from a dud if you're the Seattle Seahawks. After an embarrassing no-show last week against Tampa Bay, Seattle last night was literally the opposite. Offense, defense, special teams, in all facets, this was the Seahawk team that looks like they could run through the entire NFL right through the rest of the playoffs. And now it also helps that they got healthy. Seattle welcomed back five starters last night, including Michael Bennett, Earl Thomas, Deshaun Shedd, Justin Britt, who were all out last week against Tampa Bay. And those are huge, impactful players. And when you're without your starting center, especially in Britt, on a unit that is already in limbo, your most dynamic pass rusher in Bennett and two members of the secondary, it kind of begins to put into perspective just why they struggled last week for one, but just how good they could be when they're at full strength going forward. Last night, facing the Carolina Panthers, who really toyed with them in the playoffs last year before they knocked them out in the second round, Seattle was clicking from the get-go last night. And the biggest development came early, as the Seahawks' run game, facing a Panthers team that entered the game number one in the NFL against the run, was finally awoken from their season-long slumber. And the main guy was Thomas Rawls, who made his return a few weeks ago from injury, and he's now clearly cemented himself as the number one guy with CJ Procise out, and he ran like it last night. He ran like the guy that had the entire front office of the Seahawks gushing last season with his potential. He's a second-year guy out of Central Michigan. He's always been a spark plug for Seattle when he's been healthy, and he looks to be in that same boat now, because from the first series on last night, Rawls was finding running lanes that have not been available this season, and he was hitting them with purpose. He had a 45-yard touchdown run in the second quarter. It was his longest run of the season by 27 yards. That shows, for one, how open he was last night, but for two, how hit and miss it's been this season. He had two first-half touchdowns. They were the first two of the season for him. This is only his fourth game total. It's been a real disappointing year for Rawls, who was expected, along with Kristen Michael, to start the year, to help Seattle fans kind of move on from Marshawn Lynch and start a new era of Seattle running backs. But it's been a bad year for the running game in general. Because along with Rawls' injuries, Michael was released, Alex Collins made no impact, and the only real spark plug was CJ Procise. And now, of course, he's going to be out for, in all likelihood, the rest of the season. They may get him back towards the end of the playoffs if they make a Super Bowl run. But for all intents and purposes, he's done, and this is Rawls' team now. So his performance last night really gives a glimmer of hope for the postseason. Because if he can stay healthy, and if the offensive line can play like they did last night, or even remotely close to that, this is an entirely different team. Seattle would finish with 240 yards rushing for the game. The line gave Wilson enough time to stay in the pocket, and again, Carolina has a good defensive line. They allowed him to throw for 277 yards. And really set the tone early. Seattle had absolutely no problem taking care of Carolina, who clearly at this point in the season looks like they've given up, and Seattle went on to a 40-7 win. Now, like I said, some perspective is needed because this Carolina, they're a mess this year. They went 15-1 last year, obviously, made it to the Super Bowl. But Newton and company, Cam Newton, they're headed towards the offseason, and who really, we don't really know how much fight they had in them last night. They didn't look like, after they got down early, it was 10-0, then it was 10-7, then it was 17-7, and at that point, it kind of looked like that light switch went off in their head, like, well, it's going to be the same old, same old. So I think the final score is probably not quite as indicative of the differential between these two teams, but it showed what Seattle can do when they put their foot on the gas, and they can take teams that are maybe not in the same league as them and put them in the rearview mirror. But again, Carolina still has a solid defense, and Seattle was able to pick them apart all night long, and especially that offensive line. As good as the Seattle Seahawks running game was, we can't ignore what their defense did as well. And they may have benefited the most from the return to health last night. Because getting a guy like Bennett back adding him to a front seven that's already been so dominant this year, it's going to take them into heights that we haven't seen before, because these guys are really coming into their own now in terms of all being in the prime of their careers. And this is the first time really all season that, the defense is in an area where they're all healthy. Well, almost all healthy, because there was a big development that happened last night in the second quarter. And we won't really know the significance of it for a while, but it could be huge, because Earl Thomas in the second quarter collided in midair with Cam Chancellor, and he ended up with what was reported as a broken tibia. And it was reported on the broadcast. And from the locker room, shortly after the injury, Thomas sent out a tweet that, if you're a Seahawk fan, you should be biting your nails, because he said in the tweet, "This game has been so good to me, no regrets. A lot is running through my mind, including retirement. Thanks all for the prayers." Now, it's impossible to say that this is a true sign of Thomas's future. This tweet came within 30 minutes of his injury, so there's a good chance that it was an emotional reaction. It was an emotional moment, and it kind of got the best of him. And he maybe a situation where he looks back in the next couple days and thinks, well, probably shouldn't hit send on that tweet. We've all been there. We've all sent out things that we regret after the moment. Either way, it looks like Thomas is done for the season, at least. And that's a huge blow, because when he was in there in that first quarter, when they had Bennett back and they had Thomas back and they had Deshaun Shedd back, that was really the first time since the first week or two that everybody was back, everybody was healthy. It's really hard to pinpoint the MVP of this defense, because they all play such an integral role. But what Thomas brings is something special to the table. Now, he's widely regarded as one of the best safeties in the league, despite his diminutive size. And he plays with so much heart that the rest of the team just seems to fall in line. Now, there are other guys like that, especially in the secondary with Cam Chancellor. I think he's actually the more of the emotional leader. And Richard Sherman is obviously the glue that kind of holds everybody together. That's why it's hard to quantify exactly just what Thomas brings when you're not looking at the stats. But when you hear guys on the defense talk, and just on the team in general, Earl Thomas has a special place there. So him being out, we don't really know what that's going to do to them, because he's been such a rock over the years in terms of being out, being there, and being in the moment. So and the fact that he sent that tweet out, obviously the players didn't know this going on. They were out in the field playing. But when word gets around, it'll be very interesting to see how they react to that news. Whether they say, yeah, this was kind of him being emotional, we don't think that he's actually thinking about retirement. Or if it plants a seed in their head that, hey, he might really be done. He might be thinking, my body's too important, I need to take care of myself going forward. We don't know. We're going to find all these things out in the next few weeks. And hopefully Thomas comes out in the next day or two and talks about what's really going on in his head, because the injury didn't look that significant when it happened. Now, obviously, the result of it, once the MRI was done, clearly it's a little bit more significant than we thought. But to be something that ends your career, I don't know. And no one else will know. But I'd have a hard time thinking that the competitor that he is will let this be the way that he wants to go out. So, something tells me he's not going to go out with four games left in the season, when he's still in the prime of his career. I just don't see that happening. But it'll be very interesting to see going forward what goes on there, because he's not someone they can simply replace. It's going to be a two or three guy carousel to fill in the role that Thomas is going to leave behind. Now, after the game, Pete Carroll talked about his team's ability to bounce back, specifically from last week, but just kind of everything they've come through this year, and all the injuries and all the setbacks and the offensive line struggles, just kind of encompassing everything, the resiliency that this team has.
It was a really terrific night at the stadium. It was a big show by the fans being ready. The 12s were crazy tonight, and got the offense rolling and had a big first half, 300 yards in the first half, and the running game was alive and going. Thomas was on it. I think it really demonstrated how important Justin Britt has been to us, and him coming back in there, I think, really cleaned things up this week. And Tyler Lockett had a terrific night all around with all the yards and the plays that he made. Russell had a really good, solid night tonight, and the guys caught the ball well. Jimmy had a good night. Doug Baldwin, you know, all those guys. So it was a really good night across the board. But I think this is the best thing about it is the play of the offensive line and to see the running game go like that. So we're really fired up about that. The other side of it, to hold these guys to 7 points and really, we made a mistake and didn't have to give them seven. That's a big deal because these guys have dynamic football players and a dynamic thrower and all of that. And defense played great tonight. So it was a very, very good night. I'm very pleased about it.
What was working so well for you guys offensively?
Well, we were able to do what we needed to do in the running game. I think that was what felt so good. You know, we really had good continuity with different styles of things that we did worked, and the guys blocked really well. Thomas looked like Thomas, you know, and I think this was the first time. I think I was trying to let you know that there was something different this week about his preparation and the way he felt. He finally got his legs back underneath him, and he looked great. So I think the combination of him being on and how the guys blocked up front.
You mentioned on Monday that you didn't think the last game was anything other than just sort of a bad day. Was this reaffirming of that?
Yeah, we were so much different and so far off. It was obvious that was the case. And the great thing is we answered it and came back. We had a great week. You could tell by their focus and all, and then, like I never know game time, but once we got going in the game, things, just got cooking and it turned out great.
Defense just as a whole, the way they played.
Yeah, I rave about that running game, and because of the complexities of it, our guys were on it all night long until the end. They got some yardage, but we played a terrific game at the line of scrimmage. We weren't able to get to the quarterback, but pass defense was very good. We had guys made a lot of plays. Guys were around the ball a lot on their routes. And all in all, it was a fantastic night, to give up 7 points against those guys.
What's Earl's status?
He broke his leg tonight. And, so he's going to – I don't know what that means, but it's always 6 weeks anyway. I don't know how severe it is, but so I'm very unfortunate. He, ran into Cam. Cam's made a steal. So, that's going to hurt, and it sure did.
Is there any chance he could be back?
I don't know that. I don't know.
How did Stephen Terrell play in his absence?
He did very well. He had a great pick. Yeah, the first play he was in, they got a top on us and made that big play. But Stephen really, the other stuff that he had a chance to do after that was very much in line, and I thought he did very well. So he played well last week in replacing Earl, so that, he'll be the guy going, and at least he's got a couple games under his belt, and we think we can count on him in a big way.
Russell Wilson had a stretch in the third quarter. He was seemingly carrying the entire offense on his shoulders because as good as the offensive line looked, there was a stretch there where they were struggling in the third quarter, and there was three or four straight plays where Wilson was scrambling all over the field. He'd run full yard to the right, circle back all the way across the field, and have to make something happen with his legs. So no one's going to benefit more from the potential resurgence, of a running game and the continued development of the offensive line, because as fun as it was for those two or three series, he can't do that very often. And he knows it. And he spoke about it to the media afterwards as well, about just how important it's going to be for everything to start to click.
Well, it's the same process as always. And we've been able to do that for the past 5 years, is to be able to, when we're in the moment, obviously in a game or whatever, hopefully we win. But no matter what the circumstances are, we always move on to the next situation. I think that's always kind of been our thought process, is have a great week of preparation. We had an unbelievable week, one of the better weeks we've had all week. I thought the offensive line did a tremendous job all week, and I thought they did a tremendous job on the field, obviously. And we were able to run the ball. We were able to throw the ball with Will. We were able to do a lot of things. And it's a tribute to those guys and their work ethic. And then as a team effort, I think that, you have to have amnesia in this game. And that's the same thing you have to have in just pro sports in general. You have to be able to move on from the great week you had before, or the not so great week you've had before, and move on to the next opportunity. And we've always been able to do that because it comes back to one thing. It comes back to the preparation and the hard work.
Now that he's back, how instrumental is
Say it again?
Now that he's back, how instrumental is Justin Britt?
Okay. Justin, he's I thought Joey Hunt did a great job last week. He's going to be a phenomenal football player for us, and he is key that he can step in. Like I was telling you guys earlier in the week, it's a great thing that we can have guys to be able to come into the game, and to be able to have that game experience. I think that's the major positive from what we've experienced this year. In terms of Justin Britt, He's tough as nails. He's extremely smart. Loves the game. He's, you know, arguably one of the best centers in the league right now, you know, up front. And he's doing a great job of pass protecting, great job of run blocking. He's making all the right calls. And in terms of our pass protection, me and him are seeing it just right and just doing things the way we need to. So, you know, he brings an experience, too. You know, he's played in a lot of big moments, you know, from Super Bowls to playoff games to all that. So that's key to have in that core middle position. And you want to be able to have that. And I love playing with him just because that experience with both of us kind of playing off of each other really helps.
How big is getting Thomas Rawls back to kind of being Thomas Rawls?
Well, you know, he's worked extremely hard all week, all offseason, all year to be able to be where he's at right now. And you saw the electricity that he has when he's on the field, the energy, the toughness. He's got great hands. He runs the ball extremely well, obviously. He's got breakaway speed that showed up tonight. You know, so he can do it all. And he showed that last year, and he's showing it right now.
You guys scored on 8 of your 11 drives. What allowed you guys to move the ball so well tonight?
Well, we were in attack mode. We stayed in it. We kept believing in one another. I think the defense gave us some cool opportunities too. But like I said, it comes back to the offensive line giving us enough time. They're strong up front. They gave me enough pass protection time to be able to let the ball loose. I thought they, in terms of the run game, we were able to run it at a very, very high rate, in which their run defense is really, really good. I think they're the number one run defense in the National Football League, something like that. So, we were able to key our blocks and make those plays. And when we needed to, we made the clutch plays. And, the good thing for us is we're 7-for-14 on third down, which is 50-50, which is what we want to be at. And that's winning football. And I think the best part is, the thing that I look forward to is, I think we were 2-for-6 in the red zone. And, you know, we were able to score a lot of points, but if we can capitalize on those opportunities too, that shows where we really are. And so we're really, really close. And, we believe that, because of the work that we put in during the week.
So here's three things I learned after Seattle's 40-7 win over Carolina last night. Number one, I wrote about it last week, but Tom Cable, Seattle's offensive line coach, may be the most important person in the organization for the rest of the season. Cable is easily a top three assistant coach in the NFL, offensive line coach. And if he can get this young and inexperienced line to gel somehow and give Wilson time and open up some running holes, some holes in the running game. Wow. Because last night was a great start. They don't need to have a dominant offensive line. Not with Wilson's magician-like ability to scramble and the playmakers they have on the outside and the tight ends they have. But they need to be consistent and solid. And last night they started to look the part. They're still starting a lot of rookies. So every single game, every single snap, really, they're improving. And if they can continue to improve while not getting Wilson killed every other play or not having the, you know, no lanes open for the running backs to run through, if they can just be somewhat consistent and somewhat solid as they continue to develop, that's going to be a huge thing going forward in the playoffs, because for the first 10 weeks of this season, probably 90% of the time, you were looking at the offensive line with one eye open because they were such an eyesore. So if they get to the point now where they're at least saying, we can put them out there and trust that they're going to be able to do their job, and then eventually get to the point where we start to trust them more and more and more, that might be the biggest development going forward. Number two, the only thing that looks to be able to slow down Seattle at this point, besides that offensive line, is injuries. Now, it's been the nauseating theme of the season, whether it was Russell Wilson early, leading directly to losses to the Rams and an ugly tie to Arizona, or the offensive line, defensive line, and secondary having injuries, which affected the loss to Tampa Bay last week. All of Seattle's ugly performances have coincided with significant impact players being out. Because when they've been healthy, they've been dominant. In their 8 wins, they're actually beating their opponents by an average margin of 11 points per game, which is really significant in the NFL. So if they can get guys off the injured list, keep them off the injured list, keep them on the field, they get some rhythm, look out. Number three, a Seattle-Dallas playoff showdown looks to be inevitable at this point, and wow, I can't even imagine the hype for that game if we were to get it. This may be a situation where the game before the game is way better, depending on who makes the Super Bowl from the AFC, because unless it's New England, no one in the AFC is really going to give either Dallas or Seattle much of a game. Dallas looks like the best team in the NFL right now. Obviously, they're 11-1. But when Seattle plays like they did last night, they have just as good an argument as anybody. Now, they're not as consistent. They obviously have the three losses and the tie. But when they're at the top of their game, they are just as good as New England. They are just as good as Dallas. And I, for one, am rooting for that matchup. Because watching Dak Prescott and Ezekiel Elliott go up against this Seattle defense, that's must-see TV. Now, another big test awaits next week. And this may actually be their most telling game for the remainder of the season, obviously, because they only have the Rams, Cardinals, and 49ers coming up in the 3 weeks after. But Seattle heads to Green Bay next Sunday, who's starting to turn things around after a really rough start to the year. Now, it's been the national talk all season about Aaron Rodgers. He looks like he's on the downturn of his career. He doesn't have any leadership skills. This Green Bay team is crumbling. But you can't count them out yet, and you certainly can't count Aaron Rodgers out yet. They won again yesterday. They're starting to gain some rhythm, and in the NFC North, they still have a chance. They're chasing Detroit at this point, but as long as Green Bay is still in it, they're still going to give it their all. And you cannot go into Green Bay in December and think anything's going to be a cakewalk. It's probably going to be negative 28 degrees there. I haven't seen the weather report, but Seattle's going to have to buckle up. This one's not going to be easy. And this is an important one for the Seahawks, because depending on how the other teams perform, they're going to start being in a position to clinch, whether it's a playoff berth or a division title or home field going forward, because the rest of the NFC West has been so porous this year. Even though they have four games left, we're now at that point where Seattle is going to start reeling in these things, and it starts next week. And it really is a must win, not only for those factors, but just momentum as well, because you don't want to play 500 ball or one game above 500 going into the season, because chances are the last 3 weeks of the year, you said you have the Rams, Cardinals, and 49ers to end it. Those are three games that you're going to be heavily favored, but probably going to start resting some guys in order to keep the health going. So your Seattle's last big test is really next Sunday in Green Bay. If you get that one, you feel a heck of a lot better about starting to strategically rest guys and prepare for the playoffs. I'll be back here again next Monday, so make sure to check it out. Like I said, big game in Green Bay. We'll have a lot to talk about. Thanks, as always, for listening. Hawks Talk here, CSN.